I don't know of any area in my personal life, and you can only answer for you, that I receive more opposition than the ministry of prayer. The devil does more to fight my prayer life than any other area of my spiritual well-being. And you say, well, not me. Well, oh, that's fine. I mean, I didn't say everyone had to be that way. That's, people have strengths and weaknesses and battles and raging in some areas where others may not. I want to talk to you about prayer. We've been in the book of Deuteronomy going through the Ten Commandments, but tonight, in light of the upcoming meeting, God just definitely led me to a passage of Scripture, and I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 18. Now, while you're finding your place there, Sister Doris, once again, would you raise your hand? Sister Doris says, I do this every week. Yeah, I know. But this is Sister Doris Shiflett. She is just diligent to write down all your prayer requests and to produce a list. So if you have a request that you'd like to get to the church, you see this lady right here, and she'll get it on the prayer list. She'll produce copies, and they'll be back on the table as you walk through the double doors there so that you can keep up with some of the things that are your church family, some of the needs they have, some of the trials they're experiencing, some of the hardships or sorrows, just ways that you can pray for your church family, and that'll be on that list. And Sister Doris does a good job with that, and we appreciate her for doing that. All right, Genesis chapter number 18. Tonight I just want to share some thoughts with you that's on my heart, okay? I don't know that I'll preach to you. I just want to teach you some things tonight. I want to teach you about intercessory prayer. I want to ask you a couple of questions. What do you know about intercessory prayer? What is intercessory prayer? Now, prayer is used, it really is. It's just used so lightly in our day. So I want to right up front make a couple of statements here so that you'll understand what the goal is tonight. The goal is just to encourage us and to teach us and to help us, to move us into a direction to where we would understand the importance of intercessory prayer. The importance of intercessory prayer. All right? Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse number 12 that Jesus was an intercessor. When he would come as an intercessor. That was a prophetic utterance of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53. Well, he fulfilled that in many ways. Oftentimes, he would resort to the mountains to pray. Even while on the cross, in Luke 23, in verse 34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even in his death, as he was dying, he prayed for others. Intercessory prayer is praying for others. And so, we'll talk a little bit more about that. It takes intercessory prayer. You know, I believe that one of the reasons that America is still standing, when you look at all of the filth and when you look at all that has taken place in our country, you kind of scratch your head and you think, well, what is going on? I mean, we would expect that the judgment of God would fall upon America. And I do believe that God has judged our country in some ways. But when you look at really what is going on in America and you realize that God still continues to bless. This is a country of abundance and blessing. I believe it's because there's some intercessory praying going on. You know, this country has always produced people who understood intercessory prayer. There's a man that I want us to look at tonight who understood intercessory prayer about as good as anyone that I can find in the Scripture. His name is Abraham. I find it interesting that Abraham, living outside of Sodom, knew more about what was going on in Sodom than Lot, who was living in Sodom. Abraham understood the need of Sodom and Gomorrah on the outside of Sodom and Gomorrah more than Lot did as a saved man, and Lot was a saved man. He vexed his righteous soul, the Scripture says. And so, what was the difference? You know, Abraham cared about people. Abraham cared about his family. I just want to ask you a few questions before we get into the Scripture tonight. There's no way I'm going to be able to get in depth in this. I just want to highlight a few things that I hope will whet your appetite a little bit, maybe teach you enough to where you'd say, I'd like to know more about that, or move you in a direction where you'd say, I need to know more about that. I just don't want to know more about that. I need to know more about that because I have some family members that if somebody don't pray for them, they're going to hell. I've got some neighbors, some friends, I've got some countrymen that if somebody doesn't get a hold of heaven for them, they're not going to make it to heaven. And take that as a personal responsibility, that that means you, that that means me. Somebody's going to have to get in touch with heaven on some of our loved ones' behalf. I'm glad somebody touched heaven for me. Aren't you? I can prove from the Bible that God's hand was moved not to judge Sodom until Lot got out. Not because of Lot, because of Abraham. God at one point was going to destroy Israel. He basically said, Moses, get out of my way and let me do what I'm going to do. And Moses interceded on behalf. And he said, oh God, he said, don't let your anger destroy these people. And because of Moses, God withheld his judgment. See, we can move the hand of God. We can. There was a man by the name of Jacob, just a few chapters over here in Genesis, who wrestled until the break of day because he understood what it was to pray and not give up. It's very easy to give up in prayer, isn't it? Yeah, sure it is. It's easy to pray for somebody once or twice and not see anything happen and then say, well, you know what, I think I'm going to move on and pray for something else. We get bombarded with so much prayer requests, so many needs, that if we're not careful, we will not be persistent. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight, too, in prayer. See, Abraham was not only an intercessor, he was importunate. He prayed persistently. He was committed that his family got out of Sodom before God judged them. He just kept on praying. He wouldn't give up. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Maybe you've been praying for somebody. Maybe you've already given up. Could I encourage you to take that family or that individual back up and begin to pray for them again? They need you to pray for them. They don't even realize it. Our country needs Christians to pray for them. They don't even realize it. We are the mock and the scorn of media, mainstream America. And yet, brethren, if it were not for intercessory prayer, I'm not so sure that America would not already be under severe judgment of God. And so I just want to speak to you about a few things about that, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, would you help me to help your people? And I pray that we would just draw some good lessons from your word that would teach us about intercessory prayer. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to pray for those I love and pray for those that those I don't and should love. And just to pray, God, I just need to pray. And I just pray you'd help us, Lord. We need you to help us. Our country doesn't realize it, but they need us. They need you to help us, that we could in turn help them through intercessory prayer. Teach us what it is to intercede on behalf of others in this matter of prayer, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the scripture here in Genesis, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy just for a moment so that we can lay just a little bit, 1 Timothy chapter 2, just a little bit of intercessory prayer, what it is, okay? Now, prayer has been, it's a broad circle, and I'm just going to kind of try to break it down a little bit. I'm not going to go in detail, just want to kind of give you some words that maybe would help you as you think about this intercessory prayer. What is it to intercede or to pray with intercession? Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. Now, here's a good word for prayer. And as I study this word, I find that it deals with petition, more specific petitions. And so there's nothing wrong with praying specifically, in particular for things that you're asking God for God to do in your life. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And so Paul said there's supplications. Then he said there's prayers. I like the word that is used here because it means more of a personal, almost realizing who you're praying to. A lot of times when people think of prayer, they begin to think of God. And I think that's what Paul's saying here. Remember when you are praying, who you're praying to. That's why when Jesus gave the model prayer, he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Remember who you're praying to. It'll help your prayer life, amen? And so prayers in general, we have to remember who we're asking. We're not asking the preacher. We're not asking some well-known evangelist or wealthy person or community provider. We're asking the God of heaven. And so this really ought to boost our confidence when we pray. So he said, supplication. And then he said, prayers. And then he used our word, intercessions. This means when you pray, don't just pray for you now. You pray for others. And that's what intercessory prayer is. It's going before God on the behalf of others. There's nothing wrong with going on before God on behalf of yourself. Supplications covers that, all right? So there's nothing wrong with you praying and asking God to give you something. There's nothing wrong with that as long, and we could take all kinds of time here, but the Scripture teaches that when we pray, we need to pray that it would be within God's will. You see, whatsoever we shall ask according to his will, you see, then God will meet needs and God will work within that framework. And so we have supplications. That's more of a petition, a personal petition. Then we have prayers. That's more of a personalization of realizing who you're praying to. You're praying to God, right? So remember that. And so don't go before the Lord and just act irreverently. Be reverent when you pray. Try to keep your mind focused. I have a real problem with this. I mean, it's just like I fall under hell's attack when I'm trying to pray. All kinds of things come to my mind. And my mindset's not what it used to be anyway, and I just need to get alone. I need to shut everything and everyone out, and I just need God to help me to stay focused on what he's moving in my heart about. And so I don't know where you are in that area, but if God is working in your heart in that area, I pray that you would just learn to set aside some time, shut your phone off, right? Yeah, if anybody's going to call you, it's going to be when you're trying to pray. And, you know, they want to give you Brother Randy and I were talking about, they want to sell you an extension on your car insurance or something, and you're trying to get hold of heaven and make a difference, and somebody's want to talk to you about something that means nothing to you. Just have to shut that thing off or turn it off, leave it in another room, and just get before the Lord. So we have intercessions. And then it says, and giving of thanks. This is praise, all right? I mean, in our prayer. So these are different ways that we pray. And so tonight, we're just going to talk about intercession. So I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 18, and I want to talk to you about intercession. I'll give you just a quick backdrop of what's going on here, all right? So these visitors from heaven, the angels, come and they visit Abram and Abraham, and they tell him, listen, God's going to bless you. He's going to turn back the time for you and Sarah, and you're going to have that promised son, just like he said. And Sarah laughs, and she said, how can this happen to me? And then we have verse 14 of chapter 18, which is tremendous. You know, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, they were telling Abraham, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah, she denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And they said, no, you did laugh too. Amen. You don't have to be untruthful to us. We know what's going on. Yeah, you laughed. And so verse number 16, the men rose up thence, and they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And so, in other words, he's going to see them out. You know, like when you have company, and that's what happened. They visited with them, and you can read where he got his servant, and they got a meal together, and they fed them, and they were hospitable toward them, and they talked around the table, so to speak. And then as they were getting ready to leave, they had a message, and they gave that message. They delivered the message from heaven to Abraham and Sarah, and as they were getting ready to leave, it's like when your company's leaving, you just kind of see them to the door, and right? Just see them to the door, and you see them on the way. This is what was happening here. But the Scripture says this. I find this very interesting. It says that when they looked toward Sodom, Abraham went with them to bring them on the way, and the Lord said, should I keep this from Abraham, this thing I'm going to do? See, God was getting ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. He said in verse number 17, the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Now I want you to look at this next phrase, for I know him. We talk a lot about knowing the Lord, But brethren, I want to tell you something more important than knowing the Lord. He knows you. Everything about you. And still loves you more than anyone else that you will ever meet. There's no one that loves you like the Lord. There's no one that knows more about you than the Lord. And yet there's no one that loves you more than the Lord. Now you think about that right there, and that'll really humble you. He said, I'm not going to keep this from him. I know him. And so I think this has something to do with this whole thing of intercessory prayer. God said, I know this man, and I know his character, and I know how he is. That word know there actually has a little bit of an intimacy to it. I know this man. We have an intimate relationship. Three times in the Bible says that Abraham was the friend of God. Amen. The friend of God. And I believe I know why the Bible says Abraham was the friend of God. Because Abraham had a lot of mindset like God. God loved people. Can I tell you, I learned from this and other scriptures, Abraham loved people. He did not want to see these people under God's judgment. And he pleaded on their behalf. God said, that's my friend right there. A man that will come to me and pray on behalf of others. See, I want to pray on behalf of others. And Abraham prayed, all right? So the Bible says in verse number 19, he said, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. Now watch this. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. He said, I can trust Abraham. I know him. I know he's going to train his children up. I know he's going to want to keep the word of the Lord. I know he's going to want to do what's right. Now, I just wonder. I don't know your home. I just wonder when God looks on me, when God looks on you, when God looks on my family, when God looks on your family, when God looks at my household, when God looks at your household, does he see this? Does he see this? Brethren, I want God to see this when he looks at my household. And I believe you want God to see this when he looks at yours. I want God to find me in this position right here. I know I can trust my servant right there. He's going to do right. He's going to keep my commandments. He's going to do right by his family and his household. Right? That's where it starts. That's where it starts. And then it goes a little further than that. Now, before I go further, I want to remind you of something. Why would we even be talking about a man hundreds of years ago that prayed for a people and it changed the course of what God was going to do? What does that have to do with anything today? Has everything to do with it. We're living in the days of Lot. Okay? We're living in the days of Lot. So I want you just to hold your hand here, and I want you to turn to Luke 17 just for a moment, and I want you to see something, what Jesus said. He said, listen, he said, you're living in the days of Lot. And he said, as the days of Lot were, even so shall the Son of Man be. In other words, when you see what's going on in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, you know the time is near. All right? And so if you look at Luke 17, these are very familiar passages of Scripture, and I'm not going to go into them. I just want to show that what Jesus said here in verse 26 of Luke 17, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now listen, we don't need a Greek lexicon. We don't need a Strong's Concordance. Listen, just read it and believe it. As it were, or as it was, in verse number 26, so shall it be. Right? It's just the way it is. How was it in the days of Noah? Well, Jesus told us. They ate, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage. So, well, what? There's really not a whole lot wrong with any of that, is there? No, it was just business as usual. They just left God out. Busy with activity. Right? Now, we know that in the days of Noah, there was a lot of violence, right? Yes. We know what was going on in the days of Noah. But here Jesus said that they were so busy, that they left God out of their life. There was no place for God in their society. And when you leave God out of society, you're going to have absolute chaos. That's what we're experiencing today, not just in America, around our world. Because God has been left out. God has been set to the side. And so Jesus said, I want you to know something now. As it was, so shall it be. Now look at verse number 28. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. And then in verse number 30, he said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So listen, he said, as it was in those days, it's going to be in the day that I come back. I believe in the days of Noah, they were intercessors. I believe Noah was an intercessor. He was a preacher of righteousness. Isn't that what the Bible says? He was interceding. Listen, he was telling people, you need to get right, repent or perish. Well, the Bible says that there was an intercessor in the days of Lot, too, and we're going to read about him, Abraham. We need intercessors. Your family needs you to pray for them. My family needs me to pray for them. I don't want to fail my family. And God has been speaking to me about this. I don't want to fail my family. I don't want to fail my neighbors. I don't want to fail my church. I don't want to fail my community. Now, you say, what's that have to do with the upcoming missions emphasis? Well, these people are going to an area, and brethren, listen, if they do not pray, if they do not pray for that area, if we do not pray for them and they do not pray for that area, very little is going to be done in an area where there is no prayer. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. Very little is going to be done now without praying. Praying brings power. And so as we go back to Genesis 18, we see where he said, I know Abraham. I want to come back to that point because I have a couple of things I want to say before I come back to that. I want you to notice some things that Abraham did, okay? Because Abraham had the right kind of relationship with God, he could do this. That's why it starts off with God saying, I know him. I know he'll do right. It's important that we do right. All right? It's important that you do what's right, that I do what's right. It's important that God knows the things that he knows about Abraham, that he knows that about us. It's important that we take these things as being important. You with me? Now we can move on. And we're going to come back to that and show why it's important for this to be important. But before we do, I want you to move to these next steps because we'll not have time to build on them. I just want to mention them and hopefully you'll build on them. Look, if you would, down at verse number 23. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? You know, look at verse number 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? What's Abraham saying? God, you know me, but I know you too. And this doesn't sound like you. I know your character. And this doesn't sound like you, that you would judge the righteous with the wicked. And so what is Abraham saying? He's saying, God, I'm holding you to your word. Amen. Listen, there's a verse of scripture in the book of Hebrews that says, because he had said, we can boldly say. Amen. Listen, you can stand bold on what God says all day, every day. Amen. Never have to back up on it, brethren. Never have to back up on it. If God said it, stand on it. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's good to pray that way. God, you said that you were long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. Don't let my brother go to hell. Don't let my brother die and go to hell, God. Right? Lord, you said that you didn't want any to perish, that you wanted all to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Don't let my loved one go to hell. God, help me to help them. Send someone to them. Help me to be a help to them, you see. Claim God's word. Claim God's word. That's what Abraham's doing. He's saying in verse number 23, he drew near and he said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? God, that doesn't sound like your character. That doesn't sound like you. And he said in verse 25, be it far from thee. Now that's a little boldness, brethren. But Abraham knew that he had God's word to back up this petition. And so we do too. So I see that as him saying, God, I know your righteousness. I know your character. I know you. Yes, in verse number 19 it says, God said, I know Abraham. But here Abraham's saying, and I know you. Now you know him too. And you know that God wants to save sinners. We know that God wants people to get saved and get right with God. And because of that, that ought to encourage us. Brethren, if you had to meet certain qualifications or certain criteria in order to get saved, well, that might dampen our spirit and it might cause us to get a little discouraged in praying for others. But we know that God will accept a person just as they are if they will come with a repentant heart and they're willing to receive by faith what Christ has done. You see, God's done the work. We just need to pray that God will work on their heart. And so what Abraham is saying here is, God, you do know me, but God, I know you, right? I know you, and I know you want people to get saved. Brethren, that ought to be the greatest incentive for us to get the gospel out that I know of. God wants people to get saved, and he wants to use us to give them the word, to sow the seed, right? Next thing. I want you to notice after he said this, Abraham said, in verse 24, he said, peradventure. Now, that word, we don't use that word a whole lot today. I like that word. It just means suppose. You know, God, just suppose, peradventure, that there's 50 righteous people. All right, just, and you know this situation. He said, would you spare it if there were 50? And then this word keeps coming up. And in verse number 28, it comes up again, peradventure. And so he goes from 50 to 45. Right, you know what happens here. Now, what this is called importunate prayer, persistence. Jesus gave a parable of it in Luke 18. You ought to read it. It's a tremendous parable. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is what I have a problem with. Sometimes I faint in prayer. And I don't want to quit praying for people. I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. And so here's what he said. He went from 50 to 45 in verse 28. Then in verse number 29, he went from 45 to 40. In verse 30, he went from 40 to 30. Verse 31, he went from 30 to 20. In verse number 32, he went from 20 to 10. You know? And God kept saying, okay, right? Now, what's this say? It says that God sure is a gracious God. God sure is a gracious God, right? God would have been just if they were 80% righteous. God would have been just to exact judgment on the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. He would have been just. But God allowed Abram to persist in prayer. Now, what do I learn from this? What should we learn from this? Well, there's many things that we learn from it. But if there's nothing else that we learn from it, we learn don't give up. Don't give up. Listen, I don't know how long this took. It may have taken a day, it may have taken a week, it may have taken a month. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know how long Abraham kept coming back to God. The Bible doesn't say. It does say this, though, and I like this. It says this about Abram. Look in verse number 22 of chapter 18. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood, and I like this word right here, yet before the Lord. Amen. Abraham said, listen, the angels are going one way, and I got my family back here. He said, but I want to stay right here before God. I've got to find out what's going on with those people I love down in Sodom. Amen. I've got to find out what God intends to do with those folks down there that I love that are in Sodom. Now, you have people that you love, and they're away from the Lord. See, that's the difference between Abraham and Lot. Lot had no concern about those folks in Sodom. He didn't even have a concern about his own family there in Sodom. As a matter of fact, when you read about Abraham and Lot, you see the difference between the carnal and the spiritual Christian. All you have to do is read chapter 18, 19. It tells you everything you need to know about carnal and spiritual Christians or believers. Right? Yeah. Carnal Christians have zero concern about lost people. Zero. Spiritual Christians are really concerned about the lost. They really want to see people get saved. They really want to see people get right with God. They're praying. They're interceding. And here's Abraham, and he's praying. He's saying, God, you know, 50, 45. And again, I don't know how long this went on. I don't know if it was hours. I don't know if it was days, months, weeks, years. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I know this. Abraham didn't give up. And don't you give up either. You say, well, preacher, I've done quit praying for some people that I need to keep praying for. Well, then just start tonight. Just pick it up tonight and start praying for them again. Ask God to give you a fresh burden for their soul. Amen. We need to be praying for folks. Who you think's praying for Madison County? Greene County. Culpeper County. Who's praying for your lost brother? Nephew. Niece. You say, preacher, that's a hard burden to carry. That's a heavy burden. I pray to God it would be a heavy burden. Sometimes a heavy burden is the only thing that will drive us to the secret place of prayer, isn't it? It really is. And so here was a man that was a friend of God. And he said, God, you know me, but I know you. And I know that you're gracious, and I know that you answer prayer. And I'm asking you, I know you want people to get right, and you don't want the exact judgment on sinners. You want them to get right. And so I'm coming, and he just kept coming, and he just kept coming. And that's what God wants us to do too. Amen? You say, how'd that work out? Well, before we close with how it did work out, I want to show you how it worked out. Turn over to chapter 19. You know how it turned out, right? You know how the story ends. If you've never read Genesis 19, I strongly encourage you to read it. We're living there today. So these angels of the Lord, these representatives from heaven, go to Lot's residence. And Lot invites them in and says, you know, come on in, you know. And he fixes them a meal, and he carries on with them, trying to act like everything's okay. And then some inhabitants, some citizens of the area come, and they, hey, we want to see those guests that you had. We kind of like what we saw, and we want to bring them out that we may know them. And Lot kind of slipped out and shut the door behind him. You read this recently? He said, oh. He said, no. He said, don't do that. He said, listen, I've got two daughters who haven't been with me. And he said, I'll bring them out, and you can do as you would with them. Well, I tell you right now, you're talking about somebody backslid. I mean, that's something. You say, well, preacher, he ought to be strung up and hung. Well, wait, hold it now. Hold it. Hold it. Let's not be too hard on him. What are we teaching our children? What are we allowing them to watch, listen to, participate in? So just hold on now. Hold it. Let's be careful. I'm in no way condoning this, but I'm saying that what we might ought to do is just clean up our own house and ask God, God, you help me now get my abode right, and that way maybe I can start helping some others, but I don't want to stand in condemnation of others. I want to ask God to help me with mine, right? That's where it starts. And so the story goes that Lot went and told his sons-in-law and his daughters, hey, we got to get out of here. The judgment of God's fallen. They laughed at him. You read this. As a matter of fact, they just kept telling Lot, we got to go. God's getting ready to judge this place. And he just lingered, right? He just lingered up, just not taking it serious. Does that sound familiar to you? A man that the Bible says was righteous. He vexed his righteous soul. A man who was a believer, but when there was talk about the judgment of God and that people were going to be destroyed and that there's people's souls are going to be lost for eternity, and it's just like, oh, man, I hope this is about over. Man, you know, I got marriages to attend and feasts to eat, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, right? Right. See, this is where we are. And again, I'm not trying to guilt you. I just want you to see this is where we are, brethren. And this is where you could be as an individual, not just us as a society. As an individual, you could get sucked into this. So don't think you're above it now. And God help me not to as well. I want to realize that the power of suction from this worldliness can get to us all. And so before we start condemning Lot, and I'm certainly not going to praise him, but I want to make sure that I have my home in order and I'm doing what God wants me to do. That's where I need to stay focused first, and then I can reach out and start trying to help others. And so the Bible teaches that eventually they got out. You know, you read this story. They got out, and then God destroyed. But here's what God said. I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 29, 19, chapter 19. Look at verse 22, first of all. Chapter 22 of chapter 19, verse 22, I'm sorry. Chapter 19, verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. I got a man praying for you. You need to get out, right? That's what he was saying. There's a man up on the hill up there who's been praying, interceding with God on your behalf, and he's got the hand of God on this, and we can't move forward until we get further instruction from headquarters, so you need to get out so we can do what we need to do here, right? Yes. I'm glad God's in control that way. See, God hears our prayer. Our prayers move heaven, brethren. I don't understand all there is about this. I can't get my mind around. I just know it's so. I just know what God said. I know there's a man by the name of Abraham praying for his family. And there were people that went there to destroy Sodom. And they said, hey, listen, you need to get out before we can do what we need to do. Now, why? Verse 29 tells us why. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Lot. Is that what it says? Better look at it again. God, remember, there was a man praying on Lot's behalf. There was a man interceding and saying, God, don't let Lot get destroyed. God, don't destroy the righteous with the wicked. God, I'm holding you to your character. God, I'm holding you to your word. God, you know me and I know you, and I'm asking you, don't let my family get destroyed. Interceding. Making a difference. Prayer does make a difference. It does. But we can't talk about it and it make a difference. There's a lot of talk about prayer. Right? We need to pray. Let's talk about prayer. Sending a prayer up on social media, let's talk about prayer. We need to find our secret place and get in the place of prayer and begin to pray. Let's put prayer into action. Let's get a hold of heaven. Again, I'm not standing in judgment of you. I don't know what your prayer life's like. I've told you, I fight this. I want to do what's right. I want to pray. I know I need to pray. I need to pray more. I want to pray more. By the good grace of God, I'm going to pray more. I want to pray for my family. I want to pray for my loved ones. I want to pray for your loved ones. I want to pray for this community. I want to pray for our countrymen. I want to pray. And so I pray that God will work on your heart to pray. Now let's close with this, okay? I want to go back, and I want to talk just a little bit about the importance. There's so much in here, okay? There's just so much. Just so you know, and I have to do this, back in chapter 18, because somebody's going to leave here and say, well, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to tell God what he needs to get to doing, and I'm going to set God straight. Now, wait a minute. Don't get yourself in trouble. Don't misinterpret anything I've said here. I do want to show you before I move on to give you some about two or three points before I close tonight on that friendship matter. I want to show you what Abraham said, okay? Look, if you would, to the latter part of verse number 27. The latter part of verse number 27, he said, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Okay? He said, now, Lord, he said, I want you to know I'm nothing. So I'm certainly not going to come marching into your headquarters trying to tell you how to run the show. I'm just asking God, would you please act in accordance to your character? I know who you are. I know what you can do. And I'm just asking you to remember your servant. Amen? Hear my prayer, Lord. Hear my prayer. He'd done it more than once. I think it's, again, let's see here. Look down, if you would, in verse number 30. He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, right? Verse 32, he said it again, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak thus. He said, Lord, I know it's just your grace. I'm not coming here like claiming, you know, naming it and claiming it or you know, just claiming some right. I'm in here in humility asking God, if you would, consider your servant. I have some family that I'd like for you to intercede in their behalf. All right? Now let's go back to this, and this is where we'll close. So when God said, I know Abraham, being the friend of God, being the friend of God, what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, it means that some people are closer to the Lord than others. You say, well, I'm saved and I'm glad. But if that's where it ends, you've got a ways to go. We all need to keep growing, all right? See, Lot was a believer too, right? So you can be saved, you can be a believer, and not be fulfilling what God made you a believer for. And so that's the first question you have to ask yourself. Am I doing what God saved me to do? Now, what is that? I want to give you two scriptures before we close tonight. I could give you many, but I just want to give you two. So turn, if you would, to the New Testament, to John chapter number 14. So if you'll turn to John chapter number 15, I'm sorry, John 15 and 1 John chapter number 3. And just hold your place. John 15, 1 John 3, and I'll close tonight. Just want to read these scriptures and talk to you. So what is it to be the friend of God? Does God reveal things to some people that he won't to others? How many of you think you will? Raise your hand. Yeah, the secret things are revealed to certain people. God will reveal some things to people. If you're serious about God, God will get serious with you. Amen. He will. But now, if we just flippantly think, well, I'm just going to kind of casually and flippantly approach this, and God's going to do what he's going to do anyway, there's not a whole lot going to happen on your behalf. All right? John 15, are you there? John chapter 15, let's begin our reading in John 15. We'll begin our reading in verse number 14. John 15, verse 14, Jesus said this, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm sorry, that's chapter 14, verse 15. That's a good one too. John 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends. Amen. You say, I'm a friend of God. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not all the scripture. Amen. I knew it, preacher. I am a friend of Jesus. Amen. That's not all the scripture. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, I didn't say you were saved if you do whatsoever I command you. He said you're my friends. Otherwise, you're just a servant. Is that what the scripture teaches? Look at the next verse. Scripture interprets scripture. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. See, God will make things known to you when you're his friend. So, well, God's making a lot known to me. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. And you can be saved, and God won't let you in on some things. Doesn't mean you're not saved. I want to make that very clear. If you're saved, you're saved. And God loves you, and God will help you, and God will mature you. But now you've got to let God help you. God's not going to make you grow. Is that right, brethren? See, there's folks that think, well, I won't do anything and God's going to grow me. That's not true whatsoever. You'll never read that in the Bible. And so I'm telling you what Jesus said right here. He said, I have a different interpretation. You be sure to come to me after the service and I'll listen to it. Look at verse 14 one more time before we turn to the final scripture. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, because of that, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. A lot of people have no clue what's going on today. Lot had no clue what was going on. He was oblivious to what was happening. Abraham knew. I started this message out as I will close it. Abraham knew more that was going on in Sodom than Lot did in Sodom. There's folks that are walking with God who know more about what God is doing than others who are saved, but yet are not walking with God, and just things are happening. They're just kind of, you know, you mentioned judgment and Jesus coming and folks dying and going to hell, and it's almost like it doesn't affect them whatsoever. And so we need to be careful. Need to be careful. 1 John chapter 3 for a final scripture. I'm talking to you about intercessory prayer. I want you to get in a place to where you can pray and move the hand of God. Your family needs you to do this. My family needs me to do this. I want you to ask yourself this question as you find 1 John chapter 3. When is the last time you prayed for family members to be saved? I want you to think about that. You say, well, I think about it all the time. That's not what I said. When is the last time you prayed about family members getting saved? I think about them all the time. Wait a minute. That's not what I said. When is the last time you prayed for family members to get saved. Not that you think about it and you know they're lost, and if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. When's the last time you got along with God and prayed and said, God, save my Aunt Sudie? Or God, save my nephew, Bobby? God, save my brother, right? God, save my dad. Get serious about it. God answered Abraham's prayer. God will answer your prayer. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Right? Call unto me. Ask, and keep on asking. Seek, and keep on seeking. Knock, and keep on knocking. Don't stop. Keep on. God's listening. God's moving. Don't get discouraged in your prayer. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Are you interceding? I pray that we will be intercessors. We will intercede on behalf of others, our family members, our loved ones, our neighbors, our county, our city, our state, our country. We're important. The world views us as non-essential. The leadership of this country views us as non-essential. But there's a God in heaven who says, you are essential. You're relevant. You're important. You stand between sinners going to hell and heaven. Pray without ceasing. Let's stand to our feet.